Praise the Lord. Well, I greet you all in Jesus' name, amen. And welcome to our Friday prayer service. And I know that the time we've heard in prayer, you will never be the same again. You are fitted and equipped by the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are fitted and equipped by the Holy Spirit to do His will. Hallelujah. So I'm starting a series that I'll only be teaching on Fridays. All right, hallelujah. I'll only be teaching this one on Fridays. And it's a prayer series, amen. So prayer series part one. And today I want to teach under a title called A Call to Prayer, right? A call like an invitation to pray, amen. A call to prayer, hallelujah. And I pray for you that after this teaching today, may your personal prayer life be so revived in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, from the Bible, we've noticed that prayer supernaturally changes people's story, right? I mean, people have changed all kinds of situations through prayer. Talk about Peter in prison. The Bible says, and the church prayed without ceasing, and Peter came out. Hallelujah. Talk about Hannah, who wanted a child. Amen. And the Bible tells us that, and Hannah prayed, and God heard and answered. Talk about Samuel, you know, talk about Jabez. Talk about David. Jabez wanted God to enlarge his territory. God enlarged his territory. Hallelujah. And talk about David, you know, a man who prayed so many prayers, and God heard him, and God answered him. Hallelujah. Amen. James chapter 5 verses 16 in the NLT, the Bible says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The prayer of a righteous person produces wonderful results. Or in other words, it produces amazing results. Different versions say produces amazing results, good results, you name it. Hallelujah. That's the prayer of a righteous person. So when a righteous person prays, there's great power and it produces wonderful results. Do you want wonderful results? Then you better respond to the call of prayer. Hallelujah. In the place of prayer, you will experience supernatural changes that money can't give you. Hallelujah. Elijah prayed. The Bible says Elijah was a man like us, like me and you. He had a nature like me and you. He had a composition. So Elijah was not special or different from me and you. But he prayed. Hallelujah. And there was no rain for 3 years. And he prayed again and there was rain. Hallelujah. I see God opening showers of blessings over you as you pray this year in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, prayer supernaturally changes people's stories. Amen. And if you want to see and enjoy supernatural change of story, then you better be found in the place of prayer. Amen. Prayer doesn't just change things. It changes people. It changes circumstances. It changes everything. Hallelujah. So number two, you need to decide and determine that this year will be your most prayerful and prayer-filled year. What is it? Prayerful and prayer-filled year. Amen. Yeah, decide that you'll pray like never before. You will make heavy prayer deposits for your future. I know some people have decided that this year, you know, we want to go for holiday this year. You know, we want to buy a house, buy a car, whatever, right? But you must make a quality decision and a quality determination that 2024 will be your most prayerful and prayer-filled year. Hallelujah. That this year, you are going to pray like you've never prayed. That you're going to pray like you've never prayed. Hallelujah. Marakashata balahaya. Amen. 2024, I'm going to pray like never before. I'll pray in the morning. I'll pray in the evening. I'll pray every way. It's prayerful and prayer filled. Someone say prayerful.
Prayerful.
Someone say prayer filled. Yeah, that's my agenda this year. Amen. Psalms 109 verses 4 in the TPT. The Bible says, okay, though I love them, they stand accusing me like Satan for what I've never done. I will pray until I become prayer itself. And I said, I will pray until I become what?
Prayer.
Yeah, this year you better sing that song. I will pray.
I will pray.
Pray. I will pray. Oh,
I will pray.
Is it? I don't even know the song. But you know that song, if I don't pray. But it's not because Satan will make a mess of us. Oh, but we're saying that this year we're deciding. It's a decision. It's a determination. You understand? I'm determined to have a prayer-filled and prayerful year. Yeah. I will pray until I become prayer. When I wake up, I'm prayer. As in my dreams, I'll be blasting in tongues. Hallelujah. In the shower, I will be praying. As I'm driving, I'm praying. Someone say, I will pray. Hallelujah. Yeah. No matter how busy you find yourself, make time to pray. Tell your neighbor, say, make time to pray. Yeah, Bazalwane, we make time to cook because eating is important. We make time to shower because smelling and looking good is important. We make time to sleep because resting is important. We need to make time to pray. Hallelujah. Is there somebody here? Is there a young person, a young lady, a young man who says that, I will pray, Pastor. Make time. Huh? Make what? Yeah, all of us have 24 hours in a day. All of us, the most prayerful and the most unprayerful, all have 24 hours in a day. 24. The one who prays is because they made time to pray. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, after this miracle, the news about Jesus spread even further. Massive crowds continually gathered to hear him speak and to be healed from their illnesses. So this was a peak time for Jesus. Multitudes are coming to hear, to be healed. But Jesus often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness to pray. What did Jesus do? He slipped away. Imagine, this is the time when people are looking for you left, right, and center. Business is booming. Things are working. The prayers you're praying, 40 days fasting, have been answered. Now people are coming. And you notice Jesus was like, I will not be preoccupied with the business, but I will go and pray. He slipped and made time to pray. Oh, I wish all Christians could be disciplined. You know, Muslims pray religiously so. You understand? If it's mosque, they lock the shop. If it's time for prayer, they close the business. They take the taxi off the road. Though they are doing it religiously, it's a good determination. Yeah. I wish Christians would be so determined this year. I wish we as a church could rise up and decide and be determined to make time to pray. Do you understand? To say, I know it's busy, but I'll make time to pray. I know I'm flying out tomorrow, but I'll be at church to prayer. I know that I've got an interview, but I'll wake up a bit early to pray. I know that I have to drive and commute a long distance, but I will make time to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Make time to pray. If Jesus, who was already walking in power and everything, would slip away, he would disappear. You'd knock in his office, Jesus, someone needs prayer, he's gone to pray. Ah, we need to make time to pray. Yeah, we need to slip away from the noise of this world this year and be making strategic time to pray. Hallelujah. Say, I will pray. Yeah. So if we find you not prayerful, not prayer-filled, it's because you're choosing not to make time. Yeah, you're choosing not to make time. And that's a dangerous mistake. Amen. And you're making time to be on TikTok, all those things. Hallelujah. You're making time to make up your face, but not time to pray. When he's praying, say, God bless our food in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh no, say this year I will pray. Say I will be intentional about my prayer life.
I'll be intentional about my prayer life.
Decide. It's a decision. And then you determine, you make a determination to say, come what may. I will be tired, but I'll first pray. Hallelujah. Yeah, I would rather sleep praying than just go to sleep without putting effort to pray. You understand what I'm saying to you? You would rather kneel down, you're tired from work, and you're saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, Mazakra Baba Bashata, and you doze off, than to just get home and just say, I'm sleeping without prayer.
Yeah.
God sees your heart, and he'll be refreshing you before you notice it. Next time, you'll be so energized by the Spirit. Amen, somebody. Yeah, that you're working is not an excuse to not have a prayer life. Listen, I believe in work. You should get a good job. I believe in education. You should get the best education. I believe in financial blessings. You should get financial blessings. Hallelujah. But above all these things, I believe in a good prayer life. Or if you have education but no prayer life, you can be in trouble one day. But if you have a prayer life, even without education, your life will still take shape and have color in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. Someone say, I will pray.
I will pray.
Yeah. Now, praying like Jesus, praying like who?
Jesus.
is the key to supernatural changes. Is the key to reigning in life. Praying like who? Barcelona. If there was a prayer coach, someone who could teach you how to pray and get your prayers answered, won't you go there? You'd go there, right? If there was a football coach, let's say Pep Guardiola, one of the best football coaches, right? Pep Guardiola, say Alex, okay. Depends on what we are thinking about right now. Whoever is the great, maybe Jose Mourinho, whatever.
Jose.
These two people. All right, Pep. These guys, whoever is the best football coach. And then they come and they say to you, I want to teach you how to play football. You're not going to pay me anything. Would you turn down that offer? Yeah, you'd say no. Even if I might not be playing professional, but the fact that the greatest coach is training me, that's it. Now, Barcelona, when it comes to prayer, listen to me, people can write books about prayer from January until December. But the best person to teach you about prayer is the best person to ever have prayed. Yes, the master teacher himself, Jesus Christ himself. He is the master mentor, master teacher, master coach, master communicator, master prayer warrior. Because even right now, he ever lives to pray. Since he resurrected, he's been praying. You understand? At the right hand of the Father, praying. So Jesus is the only person I know who has prayed for 2,000 years.
Hey!
Hey, you understand?
Non-stop.
And his prayers are working. You see, that's why we even got born again. His prayers are working. So if there's someone to teach me and you about prayer, it's not some YouTube guru looking for likes and followers. It's not some TikTok sensation. It's the one who even answers prayers himself. Aibo, if you were to write an exam and I want to set the memorandum, so who is the best person to tell you what to prepare for? The one who set the exams, because he knows what he put. Yeah. That's why failing in university is a choice. Matric is more difficult than university. Because your matric is marked by a person you don't know. But university, your lecturer comes to class and he tells you chapter 1, chapter 3, whatnot. And if you have a relationship with the lecturer, he can also guide you in some corners.
He can guide you, sir.
True or not true? So when you find somebody who's a university student failing, it's because they are working hard to be a failure.
They are working hard.
It's not that they are working extra hard.
To fail.
University is the cheapest place. Is the cheapest place. Tell the students, our churches married people, tell the students, WhatsApp them, say 2024, listen to the message. Yeah, there's a point. You understand? Yeah, tell our brothers and sisters there. Okay? Now, that is when it comes to education, right? If you are to learn about money, the best person to teach you is maybe someone who has some money. You understand what I'm saying to you? If for example, if some guy just comes and says that saving is important, you look at him top down, you're like, this guy doesn't. But let's say if Elon Musk comes and says you should save, I think some of you might take it a bit seriously. Why? Because he has the results. Now when it comes to, so that is to say, in life, don't follow people for the sake, follow what has results. You don't have a spare life to follow what is not working. Don't follow sentimentally. Follow what has results.
Yeah.
I said follow what has results. Yeah. 2024, don't waste your time. Don't waste your friendship on things that have no results. If it is not bringing you to Christ or making you money or making you win souls, move away.
We are leaving it all.
Now let's come back to prayer. Now when it comes to prayer, who then is the best person to teach us to pray? Luke chapter 11 verse 1. Huh? One day as Jesus was in prayer, one of his disciples came over to him as he finished and said, would you teach us a model of prayer that we can pray just as John did for his disciples? They came and said, please teach us to pray. You understand? Teach us to pray. Right? Now, and Jesus taught them to pray. You remember the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven. So it's a model of prayer. Who art in heaven? Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread. Forgive us our, and forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into
temptation,
but deliver us from
evil.
For thine is the
kingdom
and the power
and the
and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So Jesus gave them a model. All right. He was like, now, if you had to pray, step number one, start with praise. If you had to pray, step number one, just acknowledge God and his faithfulness. Right. Number two, pray for God's kingdom to come. Pray for his will to be done. Don't start by asking for your bread. Start praying for the kingdom and the will first. Because, you know, can I shock you? Do you know that if the kingdom of God and the will of God is done in your life, you don't even need to pray for bread? Mm-hmm. Because in that kingdom, there's no lack and scarcity.
Yes, sir.
The reason you're praying for your bread, and it's like the longer you pray for bread, there's bread scarcity, because you are still in a kingdom where there's no, there's no bread. But now if you say, let your will be done, let your kingdom come. There's no scarcity when the kingdom comes. There's no scarcity when his will is being done. When his will is being done, he watches over the birds and the lilies. Barcelona, we're together. So then Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So this is what it is. We pray what is concerning the kingdom before we pray for our daily needs. How do we pray? Kingdom before needs. Okay? Most Christians, we pray needs and we forget kingdom. But God is inviting us in this call of prayer to say, my sons, this is the model, the greatest person to ever pray. He who was never broke, he who never lacked anything. Come on now. As he was praying, people were coming from everywhere. You understand what I'm saying to you? That gentleman who knows how to pray and get answers, he is teaching me and you this year that if you want to get prayers answered, when you pray, don't start with your needs. When you pray, focus on the kingdom first. Say, I will focus on the kingdom. Yeah. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then afterwards, you get to give us this day our daily bread. The reason your prayers are not working is you say, when you pray, the Father, in the name of Jesus, give me the daily bread. By the way, forgive me my trespasses. But you see, it's a wrong model, wrong password. Because you're putting things in the wrong order.
The combination is not correct.
Mark, you are praying amiss. Kabara shata balahaya. Hallelujah. I said, no matter how pressing the need, follow the model. The most easiest way to fail mathematics is to disregard the example. Come on now. Is to disregard the
example.
We can give you 5 hours. A simultaneous equation will throw you down. That you are praying 5 hours. If you don't follow example, you never arrive at the conclusion. So the easiest way to fail prayer is to not follow the model of prayer.
Yeah,
and you'll be celebrating, I prayed 5 hours. Under which model?
Yay!
Watch it.
Maths is simple. Follow the example you are. It's simple. You don't even need to meet Pythagoras. Just do the calculations the way and Pythagoras theorem comes out. You know, you still calculate it. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Because you're following the example of mathematics. Are there some engineers here?
Yes,
it's simple. They tell you, for you to calculate this, what velocity, they give you the calculation.
Yes,
now, Jesus also said, for prayer to get results, here is the formula. Here is the calculation. Here is the case study. Here is how you do it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed, kingdom first, then needs after. And we've got a whole class of people who start with the needs, who start with the conclusion of the math. Yeah. There's others who start with, Lord, forgive me. They haven't worshipped him. They haven't done. It's already a fail. 3 hours, Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. That's why they keep, forgive me, forgive me.
They have forever been forgiven.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody and they traveled to the Eastern Cape and they're like, you know, when I got to this place in Eastern Cape, I was praying and we prayed and confessed for the sins that we did when we were growing up. I was like, why did you confess for sins you did when you were growing up? You see? It's a wrong formula. Where did you see that? Like Nehemiah. I'm like, you are a new creation. No, you are a new creation. Nehemiah was praying as a man who did not have Jesus Christ, whose sins were not forgiven. Hello, somebody? And so when you are now praying and you are saying, what's this? Forgive me for sins I did when I was, what are you trying to say? You see what's happening? You are building weakness into your spirit because you are sin conscious. You can't have faith like that because it means your thinking is continuously that I'm doing something wrong. But you should say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, they don't want to follow the model. They pray according to some guru on YouTube. That as you enter, you must confess your sins. And I was starting with the person that, no, I was confessing my generational sins. I was like, show me in the New Testament where you confessed your generational sins. No, I'm asking you, Barcelona, show me. Show me, show me, show me where Apostle Paul, show me where Timothy or Titus said, I confess the sins of the fathers. I confess my grandfathers. Show me. Show me. That because you see 2024 for you too, you must confess generational. Show me. If it was that important, I'm sure they would have put a verse. They would have at least put one verse in the God would have told Paul, don't put anything about your parchments. Tell them, pray against generational curses if it's that important. You see? But for God to put Paul and talk about his parchments and his clothing, it means that it's not important. Oh, you understand what I'm teaching?
We fully understand this. Hey,
they are not following the model. First, start worship. I'm not going to go into that. I just want to help some people, right? Worship and then pray. Let your kingdom start with what is God's first. Prayer is not about you. It's about God. So your kingdom come. Your will be done first. And then after us, now give us this day our daily bread. After you've given me, then now let's talk about forgiveness. Yeah, Lord, forgive me, by the way. I missed it.
I've got the bread.
Yeah, because you know what? Because when you are praying, then God can even convict you of things that you messed up. Yeah. That when you start praying, you might not even be aware that you messed up. That's why you asking for forgiveness is towards the end, because you have been in God's presence. God has had time to tell you the way you spoke in the morning was not right. You are trying to confess about last year's one. God is saying this morning, you have an outstanding warrant. I hope somebody's hearing me. Somebody's blessed? Yeah. Then, forgive me, and I also forgive. And then God is saying, he's not saying, let's work on your relationships with people. Right, yeah. As we work on my relationship with you, you work on your relationship with people. And by the way, lead me not into temptation. Right, keep me. Deliver me from evil. That's protection, right? And then you wrap it up with praise and worship and all that. Can I ask you a question? In that model, did you even see binding the devil?
Hey, Pastor, it's me.
Congratulations. I am saying, if you are to learn prayer, here is Jesus giving us a model.
Man, Muruti, we didn't see it there.
Here is Jesus giving us a model. Now, if resisting the, if binding the devil was important, you would have put it in the model. Do you hear what I'm saying? When now you are doing a simultaneous equation math with the wrong formula, with a chemistry worksheet. And because you believe in suffering, the more difficult it is, you think you're arriving at the right conclusion. You're not. Yes, it's hard to crack, and you believe the harder it is, it means I'm passing this thing.
Hey! My God!
Doesn't make... So, if you are to learn prayer, don't learn it online. I'm not saying you should. But learn it from Jesus. Learn it from Jesus. You understand? Yeah, worship first. Kingdom next. Your own issues next. Relationships after. Protection then. Then you wrap it up with praise and adoration. That's the model. If you can do this, if you can pray it like this, I promise you.
For thine is the kingdom.
You understand what I'm saying? The power, the glory. For you are not leaving your prayer stressed.
Hey, start with the kingdom. Definitely, it's very important, man.
You see, should you resist the devil? Yes. But when you're praying, you're talking to your father.
Yeah.
Where's the devil there? I'm talking about prayer here.
Hey, Pastor, we've got chains. We are binding
you. You come to your father in the name of Jesus. And God is like, what's happening? You spent the 1 hour to shoot. Fire. Fire. And your father is saying, my child, what is this now? What is this now? All right? So let's now catch the part I want us to focus on. Prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let's worship, adoration. The next part is what I really want to focus on. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. I want us to just to focus on that in this season. The others will focus on them as we go. Right? God says in Matthew 6:33, but more than anything else, put God's work first. Seek first the kingdom. He even tells you afterwards, put God's work, that's God's kingdom, first, and do what he wants. Then the other things will be yours as well. Okay, if you are to learn how to be blessed, don't you want to learn from the one who owns everything? Don't you want to learn from the one who owns everything? And now Jesus says, if you want to be blessed 2024, put God's work first. Don't put your own interests. Put what he wants first. Huh? And then the other things will be yours. Others are chasing the other things and they're saying, God bless us. But a wise person who's going to put the kingdom first, the work of God first, say, I'll put the work of God first. So to pray and say, let your kingdom come means build your kingdom, God. Advance your kingdom, enlarge your kingdom until your will is done on earth as it is in heaven, right? That's what it means when you say, let your kingdom come. We're saying, God, build your kingdom, let your kingdom expand, right? What does it mean to say, let your kingdom come? It means we must be praying for souls to be saved and established in the kingdom. This is all about the growth, enlargement, and expansion of the church. So Jesus is saying, if you want your prayers to work, worship me. And then afterwards, pray for the church to work. Pray for the church to grow. Pray for souls to be saved. Pray for souls to be established. If you can pray for the church first, then you pray for your needs next, you will see what I'll do. Because the Bible says, may they prosper who love the stones of Zion. In other words, those who love church, may they do well in life. Yeah, am I making sense to somebody? Yeah. So, this year, we want to pray according to the right model. We don't want to spend energy binding things that are non-existent. We want to rather spend time praying the way Jesus would have us to pray. Hallelujah. Let's look at Hannah's example. You know Hannah? 1 Samuel chapter 1. You understand? You know Hannah? Yeah. For several years, she had been going to church and praying to get pregnant. Nothing was happening. Peninnah was actually persecuting her, mocking her. Yeah, she used to go to church, she used to go sacrifice, but she didn't have a baby. The Bible says her womb was shut up, her womb was locked. You understand? She had given every type of seed. She had visited every prophetic conference. You understand? Yeah, but things were not working out. And Peninnah was mocking her. But one year, someone say one year.
One year.
Hannah caught the pattern of prayer. And she went to the temple and she was praying and she then changed her prayer request. Instead of praying, Father, give me a son, he said, Lord, give me a son that I will give to you. In other words, he was saying, God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. God needed a prophet. Hannah needed a son.
Yeah.
Come on now. And Hannah was like, God, I will give you a womb to carry a prophet. You can make it a son in the process. She prayed and well, she stopped about wanting the child for herself. Selfish praying. She stopped the prayer. I want a son so that Peninnah can stop being a pain. No. She stopped all those prayers. She was like, Lord, I'm stopping selfish prayers. Oh, that we may stop selfish prayers.
Amen.
She stopped the selfish prayers. And she was like, Lord, I'm praying. Huh? You need a prophet. I need a son. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. And God was like, I've been looking because Eli is getting fired. His kids are getting fired.
Yeah.
I needed someone to give me a prophet. We need someone to continue this thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is looking for a Hannah today who will say, my womb will carry your prophets. You understand? Not even literally, but spiritually. That spiritually, I'll give birth to souls, dear God. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yeah. And the Bible says, and God answered her. The following year, she got pregnant, got a son, brought the child when the child could walk and talk and eat, right, and dropped him off at the temple, and says, this is the child I prayed for. First kingdom. Yeah, dropped the child. They said, no, first kingdom. God, now you have your prophet. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Bible tells us that, and God blessed Hannah, and she ended up with five children.
Yeah.
Now, if that is not a true example of what it means to put kingdom first, I don't know what it is. God needed one prophet, but he gave Hannah 5 children. When Hannah started to pray for the kingdom, when Hannah started to put God's interests first, tell your neighbor, say, put God's interest first. Yeah. Put the work of God first. Put the work of God first.
Put the work of God first.
Yeah. Put the work of God first. I know you're saying, this year is my year, me, myself, and I, and God says, ain't happening, darling. My work first, and you'll see how I'll decorate your life. Do you know that Hannah never prayed for children again? She only had to pray one for a... Hi. All the other children didn't come by prayer. Am I talking to somebody? God is saying to you, if you can focus on praying for the kingdom to come, you don't even need to pray for the bread to come. Because when the kingdom comes, it comes with the bread.
Yes.
When the kingdom comes, it comes with the blessings. It comes with the husband. It comes with the provision. It comes with the resources. When my kingdom comes, it's not a poor kingdom. You
yes,
hear
sir.
That? Yeah. So we need to put God's work first in our prayer life. We need to put God's work in our prayer life. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Imagine God just adding to your life. 5 children without prayer. Because we never hear that Hannah prayed about it again. Yeah, just 5. Boom. This year she's pregnant. Boom. Next year she's pregnant. Boom. Next year. She overtreated three more children or so than Penina.
Yeah.
Her mockers were silenced.
For life.
And the secret was not she was spending time praying for herself. She was praying about what was in God's heart. Yeah. What was in God's heart? What was in God's heart? Amen. Now, point number 4, if you're writing notes, your daily quiet time and kingdom advancement prayers are 2 different prayers. Okay, they're what? Don't forget, on Wednesday, I'm teaching on how to hear God, and I'll be teaching on how to have a quiet time, right? Yeah, because it's part of hearing God. But kingdom advancement prayers are 2 different things. Acts chapter 3, verses 1. When you pray kingdom advancement prayers, we can pray them together collectively in church, right? Acts chapter 3 verses 1 says, one day Peter and John went to the temple area. It was 3:00 in the afternoon, which was the time for the daily temple prayer service. So you see, the same way we've got Friday prayer service, these guys had a daily temple prayer service. Should God speak to us this year to have a daily prayer chain, as we started off sometime last year, right? We will do it. You have to be a part of it. That's your kingdom advancement. That's kingdom
advancement.
It does not replace daily quiet time. Okay? It doesn't replace daily quiet time. I'll balance it shortly. So you pray kingdom. You attend prayer services. You attend prayer what?
Service.
Yeah. You attend prayer service. Because God says, my house will be called the house of prayer. People want to attend healing service. They want to attend deliverance service. But they don't want to attend prayer service. They want to attend prophetic services. But they don't want to attend prayer. And God is saying, Acts chapter 3, it was 3:00 in the afternoon, which was the time for the daily prayer service. If it's time for prayer service, where must you be found? In prayer. So I'll be found in prayer. Yeah, I'll be found in prayer. Amen. So there's corporate prayer where we pray together collectively, right? And then you must have a personal time for kingdom advancement prayer. Yambonu Peter was going with John here. They were going to pray. Peter and their cell group, they were gathering to pray. They were going to pray. Okay, they came to a prayer service, right? Peter and John, they were meeting with other brethren. They were meeting Abanyabazalwan to go pray. Hallelujah. But then now let's see. Peter... in Acts chapter 10, come on, let's put it up. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. The Bible says, and the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. Now, this was Peter's personal prayer time. Personal kingdom advancement time. I want to challenge you this year. Don't miss the corporate prayer services, but also put your own personal kingdom advancement time. In your own house. Peter was praying in the rooftop. Some versions say balcony. It was in his house. This wasn't a church. This wasn't with the brethren. Put a time for kingdom advancement prayer. Hallelujah. And the Bible says it was around noon. This is around 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Peter was praying kingdom advancement prayers. Hallelujah, Bazalwane. I said, hallelujah. Yeah. So there's corporate, the one we pray together as a cell, the one we pray together as a department, the one we pray together in our groups, right? Or collectively as a church. Then there's your personal time where you say, every day this year, I'm going to put aside this 1 hour just to pray for the church. Yeah. Just to pray for the kingdom to come. Hallelujah. Are you going to do that?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, please. No matter how busy you are, just put the time available. Maybe for some of you at work, you know, instead of taking the full 1 hour just to eat and be chatting, take 50 minutes. Every 10 you are praying, and then the other 10 you are eating and refreshing yourself. See what God will do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't forget, people who pray don't have all time. They make time. They make time. They don't make excuses. They make time. Right? And then look at this. You now also need to have time for your daily personal quiet time. Exodus 34 verses 2 and 3. Make yourself ready in the morning, says God, and come up Sinai Mountain. Stand there, ready to meet me on the top of the mountain. Nobody must come with you. So I wonder, this is quiet time now. Because right now we're together, so you can't say you're quiet time. You can't say you're developing a personal relationship with God in the midst of abazalwane, right? Nobody must come with you. Nobody must go anywhere on the mountain. This is personal quiet time. Even your sheep and your cows must not eat grass near the pole. That is to say, you're not even praying about abazalwane. Your sheep, your congregation, you're not worried about church growth or whatever it is as it may be. This one, Moses, is just, you are coming with me and just to meet me. Can you see the difference?
Yes.
Yeah. So quiet time, this is the beautiful part. Your daily quiet time, you can put aside maybe, let's say, 30 minutes every day, 15 minutes every day for your daily quiet time to hear God. I'll teach more on it next week. Okay. That's your daily quiet time, just to have a relationship with God where you're reading your Bible, getting to know God, right? Then you need to put another time whereby now you are praying kingdom advancement now. Can you see the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah. Quiet time is your daily romance with God.
Yeah.
I love you, Jesus. I worship you.
Oh,
oh, you're so sweet.
Jesus.
Oh, I love you so much. You understand? You're playing some nice worship music.
Yes.
But then, now there's time for kingdom advancement.
Mm-hmm.
Whereby now, pray, Lord, let the church grow.
Yeah.
We declare vengeance on all the forces of the devil. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now you're praying, Father, let the gates of hell bow. Father, as we go out for outreach, let there be blessings. Bless the son. That's kingdom advancement. You are praying for the kingdom to grow. But then there's quiet time. Does this part make sense?
Yes, sir.
So you need to cultivate both. So I need to cultivate both. Yeah. Your personal quiet time and kingdom advancement time. Okay? Yeah. Some people normally have quiet time in their car. Maybe I know a pastor who would go to McDonald's in the morning. His quiet time was at McDonald's, 7 a.m. Built a great church with quiet time at 7 a.m.
In McDonald's?
Yes, that was his quiet time. He has a coffee, earphones on, he's hearing God.
And it works.
Jesus said when you're praying, go into your closet, Moses.
Hey, pastor, we're going to start.
You understand? Yeah, so quiet time. Listen to me about quiet time. Quiet time works wherever it works for you.
Yeah.
Don't forget, I told you in the notes, choose a place. Huh? Oh, I'm going to tell you. Oh, you set an appointment. You see, God put a place. Come up Mount Sinai. That's a place. He's putting appointment, definite location. In the morning, a set time. So quiet time is your daily appointment with God. There is a place, there is a time.
Definitely.
You understand? And you are going to meet me. So quiet time is not haphazard time.
It can't just be.
You understand? No. You don't just wake up today at 9 o'clock and you have your quiet time. Then tomorrow you wake up at 10 in the evening. Then you wake up. No. Quiet time, you say, Lord, I'm putting an appointment to meet you every day at 6 in the morning, at 5 in the morning, at 11 o'clock. Whatever time works for you. Lord, I'll have a quiet time in my car. Whatever time works for you. Okay? Does that make sense? But
sense.
You need to have a place and a time to meet God.
Yeah.
Definite. Okay? And then you put time for kingdom advancement. So kingdom advancement, we can pray as a group. Let's gather in our cell group. Guys, for the next, we're praying 1 hour every day in our cell. In the morning, we're praying 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour for our cell to grow. You understand? That's kingdom. We pray it collectively. Quiet time, we don't give you prayer points. Kingdom advancement, we give you prayer points. Does that make sense?
Yes,
quiet time is you who develops your personal relationship with God. Kingdom advancement, God has an agenda. We communicate that agenda. Does that make sense?
100%.
Yeah. Who's going to develop both quiet time and kingdom advancement? Yeah. Both are very important. Yeah, both are very important. Right? Why should we even pray kingdom advancement? Because Jesus instructed us to pray for souls. Yeah. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 to 38. If we pray, people will be saved. Just as we are saved because someone prayed. Yeah, we are saved because someone prayed. Have you ever thought about it? That someone was praying. Have you ever thought about it? That someone somewhere was praying. Maybe it was an auntie, a grandmother, someone in your family, or someone, your roommate was praying, and you, before you noticed it, you went to church, you gave your life to Christ. You understand what I'm saying to you? We are saved because someone prayed. So we should pray so that others can be saved. So it's an instruction from Jesus to pray for the church. Now, if you worship Jesus and you believe in him and he's the builder and the owner of the church, and he says, let's pray for the church, then when why are you praying about other things? When the owner of the church says, hallelujah. Yeah. He says to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out labor. Pray. He says pray. He didn't say declare. He didn't say confess. He says pray for the harvest. Hallelujah. Say, I will pray. Now, please listen to me very carefully. Praying for souls is the first thing we are supposed to do. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. The first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray everywhere you know how, for everyone you know. Pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well, so we can be quietly about our business of living simply in humble contemplation. This is the way our Savior God wants us to live. This is how God wants us to live. That first of all, we pray. Okay? It's not the last thing we do. First of all, we pray. We pray for everyone in everywhere we know. Say, I will pray for everybody. Do you know that praying kingdom advancement prayer is the only prayer that makes God happy? Do you want to make God happy this year?
Yes.
Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It is good that we should pray like that. It makes God our Savior happy. Wow, look at it. It makes God happy. You see, sometimes when you're praying your own prayer points, we're not sure if God is happy with what you're praying about. Huh? But God has guaranteed you, Pony. If you want to make him smile, pray kingdom advancement. Pray for the church. Pray for the church to grow. Pray for things to work in the church. Pray for souls to be saved. Pray for the word. Pray. Say, I will pray.
I will pray.
Yeah. It makes God happy. Now, if God is happy, don't you think he'll make you happy?
Definitely.
No, think about it. If God is happy, won't he make you happy?
He will make me smile.
So what should a wise person do? Just make God happy. I live to make God happy. So how do I do it? By praying for the church. He likes it. When I come and I say, Father, let your will be done. We are praying for the church. God is like, that's my boy. I like this boy. Can you see how, now, don't be confused. When God says, well done, good and faithful servant, this is what he wants. He has told you what makes him happy. So you don't have to be wondering, will I hear well done, good and faithful servant? If you are not praying kingdom advancement, he is not pleased with you. You are not going to hear it. I hope the church is hearing me today. Yeah. Kingdom advancement prayers. Right? God is happy when we pray. Are you going to make God happy this year? Yeah. Pray kingdom advancement prayers. Right? Praying kingdom advancement prayer is part of your spiritual service to God. You know you want to serve God? Pray kingdom advancement prayers. And what does God say about those who serve him? Job 36:11. If righteous people listen and serve him in prayer, in soul winning, they will live out their days in prosperity and their years in comfort. So God is saying, if you obey in this instruction and you serve me, you'll spend your years in prosperity, your days in comfort, in pleasure. Hallelujah. I have given you the way to pray from the master prayer warrior himself. The one who answers prayer. The one who has a memo for prayer. Hallelujah. The one we pray to. And he says, my dear children, if you are to pray, pray kingdom advancement. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.